Again, this evening it is good to see each and every one of you out. We're glad that you're here. And once again, we do hope that you are blessed in the message that we will hear tonight. We are studying in the book of Isaiah. We're looking at chapter 8 tonight. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles to that chapter, we'll read through that. And then I'm going to touch on just a portion of that tonight. Something that is, again, so very important for us as Christians, that we can gain lessons from these books that we study, the things that happened in the Old Testament are there for our learning, things that will help open our eyes and help us understand how true God is and how sincere He is about His Word. Isaiah chapter 8. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I will take for myself faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jerubbaal. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly and rejoice in reason and in Remaliah's son, I now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty. The king of Assyria in all his glory, he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He will pass through Judah, he will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob. And I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, for the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Isaiah chapter 8, we are going to see where there is an attack on Emmanuel's land. And the attack is one that has been seen many, many times. It's an attack that seems to happen over and over again. I want us to think, because I know this is a kind of a long name. I don't know how many of us might name our children this, but Maher Shalal Hashbaz means swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. Now think about that when you think about this name. Because this was a name that was preached, a sobering message to the people who were present every time it was spoken. Now, remember, this is a little child. Can you imagine what it would be like to be told to name your son? Two enemies will soon be destroyed. That's exactly what this name means. Because every time his name is mentioned, well, let me just get into this. When it was said in a public way, a prophecy was being announced concerning Syria and Israel. There was a prophecy that was going to take place. Before Isaiah's son was even old enough to say, "My father and my mother," the Assyrian power would subdue these two nations. That's not very long, is it? How long does it take a young child to cry out, "Mama" or "Daddy"? And they learn that at an early age. It doesn't take very long. It will soon happen that this will take place. What can we learn in our time today from this name? And I'm not going to go through the name again. We will let you look at that and see and follow along with that. But what can we learn from this young child's name that preached destruction of two nations? There's some lessons that we can gain from listening to this very few verses here in the beginning. First of all, we are reminded of God's truthfulness. Brethren, above all today, the one thing that we must always take with us and always continue to live in and stand in today is the fact that God is truth. And that God will not turn away from truth in any way. That what He says will be done. You can bank on it. You can believe with everything you have that when God said this will happen, it's going to happen. And we have to believe that with all that we are. We need to be reminded of this every single day, how truthful God is. The prophecy that was given was immediately fulfilled. And in that we see the integrity of God's Word, how that was revealed before the nations, how when He made this prophecy, it came true. We need to believe what God says. We need to remember the Word of the Lord when He said in John chapter 10 and verse 35, the Scripture cannot be broken. And again in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. It is not possible for Him to do that because He is a God of truth. Absolute truth. We must always remember what He says. Nothing is more sure. Nothing is more sure than a testimony of God's Word. Brethren, today we have what we need. And what we need today is to listen very carefully to the words of the Lord. To remember what He's told us. To recognize that it's the truth. And no matter what may be said in our world today, no matter what may be going on in our world today, God is still the one. He created it, and He will destroy it. He is in control of all things. God is truthful. Secondly, we can learn that we are made aware of God's abhorrence of sin. As we see these things, as we read of these things, we must understand how much God hates sin. Bottom line, small ones and large ones, they are all a sin. Brethren, we cannot separate them in any way. Well, my sin wasn't that bad. A sin is a sin and God hates that. So it's important for us to know that as a God that is full of truth has given us the hope that we have, let us remember how He feels about all things. God did not stand with these two nations for one reason. It's because these two nations did not stand with Him. Eye opener, I hope so. Because God will not continue to stand with a nation that does not want Him. America, wake up. This world needs to wake up. This world needs to recognize they are not greater than God. Never will be. We must continue to live and to follow the ways of God. They had rejected the guidance that God had given them. That He had told them everything they needed. He had shown them throughout all history of how He was going to stand up to what He said. How He would never back away from the truth. How He knew what was the best for them. They needed His guidance. They needed His leadership. But instead, they chose to do it their way. And I always bring to my memory Proverbs 14, verse 12, that says that there is a way that seems right to a man. We need to understand this verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its way is death. The end of that way for man to choose is death. What are they dealing with here? They're going to be overtaken by this great army that's there. And the fact of the matter is, it did not have to happen because they refused God's guidance, they refused His leadership, and said, we can do this. And they found out how quick they could not. Thirdly, we see the place of teaching in God's plan. Now, what we must realize today is, and God had done this all the way through, He had given them exactly what they needed. The guidance, it was there. They had to recognize who it was from. The leadership was there. God wanted to lead them as a nation and as the people of God. It was important. The purpose of this boy's name was to keep the message of God before them over the period of time. It was to be before them at all times. God gives us a message. It's not going to change. God gives us a message from the beginning. We must follow Him. We must believe Him. We must accept Him and all that He can do and all that He will do if we'll just continue to listen to what He has said. You know, God doesn't want mindless servants. He don't want somebody around that, you know, can't think and they're just going to be guided by this or that. He wants people who are willing. He wants people who are devoted to Him. People who will choose to receive His teaching. People who will choose to conform to His will. Brethren, I challenge us to look very close at Jesus. I challenge us every day to look at why He did what He did. And one thing comes to mind. He chose to teach God. He chose to do His will. And He did that so you and I today could realize where we need to be. God will always teach. God will always give us what is necessary. God will always direct us in the right way. But when we choose to turn away from Him, we better be ready and we better be prepared. You know, we might say that we wouldn't want a name like this Maher Shalal Hashbaz because, number one, we might think, that's a little embarrassing, isn't it? Would you really name your child this? Would you really want to carry that name with you all along? Would it not embarrass you when your teacher said, all right, what is your name? And you try to say this before, and just imagine what the kids would do. They would probably laugh and make fun of you. Well, a lot of people would feel that way. But I want us to think of it this way. What about a privilege that it was to be able to have embedded in your name this true message of God? What would it be like for your name to be proclaimed, and in that name, God's teaching came out every single time it was mentioned? Would it be quite so embarrassing? Think about that for just a minute. I'm not going to switch over to my next point here for just a second, because I want you to think about this. Here was a name who had embedded in it a true message from God. This is going to happen. You can count on it. That's God. That's coming from God. Okay, have you thought about it for a second? Because I want us to think about the name Christian tonight for just a few minutes. What does the name Christian mean? Well, in our opportunity to wear this name, do we not bear our identification of whose we are, who we belong to? Do we not bear in our identification who and what we are about? You see, when people think of this word Christian, and I know today this word Christian has been just really torn apart by all the different things that man has come up with, but let us remember today the one true meaning of what Christian is. When we are a follower of Christ, which is exactly what Christian means, we have put on Christ. Who are we wearing? What are we showing in our world? You see, it's important for us to recognize the name. The name is very important. The name is so much needed in our world today. People need to see the true message of what a Christian really is. That we will be willing to listen to the teaching of God, that we will continue to follow that teaching, and we will be what He wants us to be, the best that we can possibly be. Our faith must be strong. It must be strong in the Word of God. We must believe everything that He said. And brethren, today, if we'll do that and listen to what He said, we will be able to live in accordance to His will. Now, I want us to think about this for just a minute. Shiloh or the Euphrates? Because there's a choice that is going to be made. It's a choice that's made every single day. Isaiah was told that the people had rejected the Lord. The Lord here represents this gentle flowing waters of Shiloh. Okay? The opportunity was there for them to be able to have it. But instead, they chose to face Assyria. They chose to face this army. They chose to be taken and subdued by this nation, which will represent the floodwaters of the Euphrates. Go read through those verses again when you go home tonight. Think about the things that God expects us to draw from this lesson. Think about how we need to accept the things of God and turn away from the things of the world. Because that's the contrast that we have here today with these two. They could have had the gentle, the peaceful, the graceful waters that flow from the comfort, from the salvation, and from the strength that God gives. They chose to go a different way. This prophecy contained an element of warning as well as a prediction. God had told them what was going to happen. But there's also a warning. And this is what we need to remember, because it's implied here how the people should react to this accounting that they were being brought into. There was something that they should have done. There was a way that they should have responded to this message. But because they chose to go the wrong way, to make the wrong choice, they were going to be overwhelmed by this army. They were going to be destroyed by this army. What is it that you and I today should do with a warning from God? What is it that we need to think about when we think about warnings that we read about, not just in the Old Testament, but what about in the New? They are there for us as well. What do we do? Well, first of all, do you think we ought to listen to the warning? I think that needs to be the first place we start, isn't it? When God warns us about what can happen, we better open our ears. You know, Jesus said this many times, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Is that not something that we should open our eyes to, open our ears to, open our lives to? Remember, God is truthful. God means what He says. If there's a warning, let's listen to it very carefully. Because God will warn before He destroys. He was doing it here. He had warned them over and over again. They needed to listen. He tempers His judgment with His mercy. God is a merciful God. He's a patient God. But there will come a time when His patience will run out. And brethren, we better be ready. The warning is there. So let's listen to the warning. His people can listen to what will happen to them because He will tell them. He'll give them everything they need, but if you will not listen, here's what happens. If you will not repent and turn back to God. The journey of returning to God begins with listening to what He has taught. Brethren, the Bible is here for a reason. Let's listen to it. Secondly, we are to gird ourselves. Well, in other words, let's say that they were told to get prepared, to be ready. You've made your decision. You've jumped into this, and this is what you want. So be ready. Get prepared. He will tell them that two times. Thirdly, we're to permit the message to shatter us. What do you think that means? Well, you know, a lot of people would say that, well, God's Word just really, it hits me hard and it's mean to me and it just doesn't understand what I'm going through. That's not what He's talking about at all. When He's talking about His Word shattering us, there's one important thing that needs to be said. And He will say this three times in verse 9, or maybe broken in pieces. We need to allow God. We need to allow His Word. We need to allow His mercy to humble us in a way that we will want to turn back to Him again. You see, that's what God wants. He doesn't want people that are not willing. He wants people who will choose to follow Him, that will choose to make the right decisions and follow Him from a... Maybe we need to be broken down, that kind of heart, to realize where we need to be and what we need to do. Now let's look at armor for any crisis, because there is some there. Isaiah was told, do not live as the others are living. As you look out and you see your people, do not live that way. There is a way that needs to be lived that's different from what they're doing. And you can imagine, we've gone through this how many times. How many times must Israel realize God is serious about what He says? But again, the lesson for us today is He's still that serious today. Difficult times were coming. That's what this prediction was. There's a time that is coming. And Isaiah was told to brace himself. Brace himself, because these are going to be some harsh, very troubling days ahead. Get ready for it. You know, when days are dark, when we're surrounded by tragedy, how is it that you and I today should live? What should we do? Let me give you a few things. Remember when Isaiah said, do not fear. There in verse 12 and 13, he was talking about not fearing. Well, from what we've been talking about, would that not scare you? Would that not frighten you into thinking about, okay, look at our world today. We're seeing the same thing. Is the message that God gave to Isaiah, do not live like they live, is that not for us today? Aren't we supposed to be different? Remember this morning we talked about how we're supposed to be distinctive. How this world needs to see something different. They need to see God. The true God. Not the ones they make up in their hearts and in their minds, but the one true God who can give them exactly what they need. That's what they need to see. So here it is. Do not fear, he will say, if your life is wholesome, if it's genuine, if you have the respect for God, if the reverence for God that you need, if you respect His Word and follow His Word, then you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have to be afraid of anything or anybody. How many of us feel today that we're afraid of the world that we live in? And the question I would ask is why? Oh, I know what can happen. I know all the threats that can be brought in. I know the things that can happen to our lives. These people could step in and they could take our life from us today. But brother, I want us to think about one thing. What happens if we're genuine? What happens if we're wholesome? What happens if we respect and revere God? What happens if we follow His teaching and all that He says to do? We're better than we are now. We would be a lot better. As Paul said, it's better to die and go and be with Christ. Do we think that way today? Because if we do, we don't fear the world. We don't fear what the world can do. No, the kind of fear that we need to have is the one that goes against God and to know the respect that we need to have for Him. Secondly, Isaiah said, make God your sanctuary in verse 14. Make Him your sanctuary. Very simple little message here out of that. With Him, He will be our shield. With Him, He will be our protection. That guard that we need. But if we choose to go without Him, God will be a stumbling block to us. And what I mean by that is, we cannot defeat God. His way will be done. Don't forget how truthful He is. Thirdly, Isaiah said, we are to wait obediently on God. Now I know that there are people out there today, because I've had it said to me, they basically claim, listen, God is sending Jesus back to this, they're claiming He's coming back to this earth. And their thought is, we don't really need to do anything right now. We need to wait till He comes. How obedient is that? No, God said we need to wait on Him. Be patient in His coming. Whenever that time is, we don't know. Only God knows. But here's the thing that we need to think about. While we're waiting for Christ to return, to take us to be with Him in heaven, to meet Him in the air, what a blessing that's going to be. But while we're waiting on that day, we need to be obedient to the Word. We need to stay obedient. This waiting includes living God's Word now, throughout our whole life. We need to learn that while we wait, we are going to live God's will. And we have an important responsibility to do in this world. Let us do what we're supposed to. Now, although Isaiah knew that tragedy was coming, although he knew the difficulties that was before him, he did not have to worry about it. Not in one little way, because he was shielded by God. And God was going to protect him from any harm. Now, there might be people today who take this and say, God's not going to let me get hurt here in this life. That's not what he's saying. Now, God is going to protect us by being truthful about what will happen. If we do lose our life here, we have a home with Him because we stand for what's right. So how can we prepare for the days of suffering, the pain that lay ahead of us? Well, we need to have more than just a package of Band-Aids. You know what? Too many times we like to just cover the problem with a Band-Aid. No, we need to have that invincible armor of God. We need to be covered with that protection of God so that we can be ready and we can be prepared for anything that comes our way. God will lead us. God will shield us. He will take us through this wilderness of the future that we face. And we know there's difficult times. We know we're facing them right now. God is the one who can help us there, and He can bring us safely to His side. Brethren, today, when we think about, when we read through these lessons, put yourself in this message. Let God speak to you through these words, and take to heart what He means, the truthfulness in which He says it, and never, ever doubt what God says. Let me share with you one verse before we close. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I want us to learn this. I want us to walk with this today. We will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear. Brethren, we need to remember the words of the Lord. We need to remember that God is serious about what He says. We need to remember today that the truth will be found in God and in God only. That man cannot overcome that. Man cannot make it any better. Man cannot do it his way. No, there is a way that seems right to man. But in the end, it is the way of death. Let us follow the way of life. Let us continue to follow the one thing that can turn our lives away from fear, to turn our lives away from all the things that are going wrong. Let us make the decision today not to live like everyone else lives. Let us live according to the Word of God, and let us please Him in all that we do. Remember this name today. Remember what it meant. And remember that God is very serious about His Word. He wants us to follow it. He wants us to obey it. And brethren, while we wait, let's live it in our life every day. Are you a Christian tonight? What I mean by that is, are we one that have been obedient to the Word? Have we really paid attention to what it is that God has said? Have we accepted God's Word? Every one of it. All of it. Don't take anything out. Don't let the world teach you something different. Let God teach you what He means. Let God teach you His truth. We're all going to find it in His Word. Let's follow that Word. Let's be obedient to God in all we do. If you're not a child of God tonight, if you've not believed in His Word in the way that we should, and what I mean by believing is that when we read His Word, we recognize all that He says. And we want to follow all that He says. And when we do that, one thing's going to come to mind. I need to make a change. I need to change my attitude. I need to change my life to follow God and nothing else. That's what repentance is. Turning from what we are to turning to God to what we need. Brethren, we will confess God before men. And we will stand up today and believe without a doubt that we believe that Jesus is His Son. He is the only one who can save us from our sins, and we can find hope in Him. Let's believe with true faith in God today. And if we do, then we're not going to have a problem with the next step, because the next step is when we recognize that, we know we need something to wash away our sins. It's like, was asked Paul, why are you waiting? You know the truth. You know what God wants. Arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. Brethren, today, we must call upon the name of the Lord by being obedient to what He says. So if you've not been baptized in the body of Christ, make that decision today. Live your life faithfully for Him from now until the day that we depart from this earth. Let us please God. If we are a child of God tonight and we've turned away in any way, and I say this every time, but brethren, it's important because sin can get into our lives and it can harden our hearts and we can turn away from God. We need to be with Him at all times. Do not let that happen. Let us walk with God every day. Keep your heart pure with Him. and let Him guide you. Tonight, as we stand and sing our invitation song, please think about where you are in this life. Think about God's message and think about how much He loves you as we stand and as we sing.